Andrew Sabelgaard-Havelt with us. Morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Did you watch the boxing, Andrew?
Yes, I did. Sensational.
$40 well spent. I was on the verge. I was thinking, shall I, shan't I? Texted ding, ding, ding to whatever I did. And actually, I had a person do that for me because I can't do that. But
you'd still be sitting there at home trying to work it out if you had to do it.
I said, can you text such and such? And then suddenly it turned up on the screen. It worked. But I tell you what, I would have paid twice. I would have paid three times. That was the real deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It brought back memories of those magnificent heavyweight days of, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s. There were knockdowns. Thought Fury was gone, like that first fight. He got up again. Wilder was down. He got up again. The thing with Tyson Fury, Mark, is whether you love him or hate him, he is the full entertainment package before, during and after the fight.
Yeah.
And he backs up what he says.
That's the truth. I've got to say, when you look at them, I mean, if you look at it, it's a study in physiology apart from anything, isn't it, Guy? I mean, if you look at Fury, he's not fat.
He looked overweight.
But he looked overweight and he looked like he wobbles. And Wilder looks like Adonis. And yet, who won?
Well, exactly. It obviously depends a little bit on your nutrition and that sort of thing, but maybe not to the extent that we used to think or that we sometimes think. I mean, Joshua is the exact same as Wilder. He's absolutely ripped to shreds. Now what we need to see, though, don't we? We need to see Fury against either Joshua or Usyk, because Fury has proven, I think, across all three of these fights, and I know one of them was a draw, but I think all three of them, he's probably proven he is the best boxer out of those two anyway.
Yeah.
I was going to say exactly that. I think he'd then go on and win against either of those two. I think he is probably the best boxer in the world.
The problem with that, though, Andrew, is Usyk, although he looked good, because I only saw a bit of that fight, he looked good against Joshua. Joshua was asleep and he was lazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think ultimately, if you want the two greatest heavyweights in the world, it would be Joshua v. Fury for all the belts, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Usyk holds those belts, right?
No, I know.
Three other big belts. And Fury has the WBC. But the thing with Usyk is he's a very good technical boxer. The thing with Fury is he's just so unorthodox. His movement, what he counter punches, his ability to tough out a fight is extraordinary. And as he said himself yesterday, he thinks he's the greatest of his era. The bigger money fight, unfortunately, would have been Joshua with his belts versus Fury with his one. So, you're talking $1 billion, probably.
Yeah, but what you do...
But that's gone now. And unless Joshua and Usyk, they are going to have a rematch.
Yes, they're going to have a rematch.
Joshua wins. Yes, if Joshua wins that, then it's all on. Yep.
That's what I was saying. So Joshua, they've got to get the rematch out of the way. Joshua will win that because he'll get his act together. And then it's all on for the big one. And then they'll do a rematch of that as well. So that's three good fights worth watching, isn't it? What I can't work out, Guy, as I watch Joseph Parker in the dressing room with Fury, is where Parker fits into all of this, and you can see why he's not quite got to where he should be, because he's about a foot shorter than everyone else.
Well, I think it's a bit more than that. I was going to say, a few people got excited about the fact that Joseph Parker was in the same, in Tyson Fury's corner. Well, for me, it was the opposite. It was kind of disappointment. I mean, a few years ago, we were talking about the fact that Joseph Parker could be a guy and I know he did win a world title, but he could be a guy who pushed on to, you know, fight amongst these guys. Well, he's way behind. Let's be realistic. Joseph Parker is nowhere near the caliber of Fury, Wilder, Usyk, Joshua.
No.
These days he's so far behind, and for me that's more disappointing than exciting to see him standing amongst those guys. He should be in the ring with them.
Yeah.
And that was the overriding emotion for me seeing him there.
And what we've got to accept, though, Andrew, at the end of the day, is this is we, rightly or wrongly, whether you like boxing or not, it's the heavyweight division that gets all the action, and this is as good a heavyweight division as we've seen in years.
Yeah, 20-odd years, Mike. You can look at the middleweight divisions, and they do attract a fair amount of publicity and fandom, but there's nothing like the heavyweight division when it's strong, and there's nothing like the heavyweight fight.
Exactly. So Liam Lawson, we had on the program a few moments ago, Guy, and you could hear it in his voice. He was just gutted, as he should be and as you would expect him to be. But geez, I tell you what, with F2 and of course AlphaTauri, he's got a lot to look forward to.
Well, and he's, I think, either despite what happened this morning and even in the other race this weekend, I think he's just proven that he can be amongst those guys right at the top of motorsport. And I hope he knows that. I sense he probably does. He's around smart enough people. I hope it, you know, obviously don't hope it doesn't go to his head, but I think he knows that, you know, he's knocking on the door now. And these motorsport people would have seen what happened this morning in terms of him getting slightly run off the road and ending his... Yeah, they'd understand that that's not his fault. That's not his doing. He might not have won the championship, but he probably deserved to win the championship. And I've seen already on his social media, a few of the other drivers have posted on his, has, have commented on his post saying, you deserve to win the championship and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's all bright lights at the moment for Liam Lawson. It's just fantastic to see, isn't it? And I don't know how long it'll take, but it seems only a matter of time before he's in one of those F1 cars.
He's a super talent. More in a moment. Guy Havelt, Andrew Sebel. Andrew, Benji Marshall, where do you put him?
Right up near the top of Kiwi greats, Mike. For me, for mine of a certain vintage, Mark Graham will always be number one.
Yeah.
But for longevity, player, I mean, different sort of player. 300-odd games. When he first burst onto the scene, every kid in their backyard wanted to be Benji Marshall. So he would be he'd be top three Kiwi greats, I reckon.
What does he do now, you reckon?
Well, he signed a deal with Fox Sport, I think, in Australia.
Is he a talent on here?
Yeah, he is. He's very good. He's always been a good interview, and he's been a good yapper, good chatter. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, he does well on the TV. So that's his future.
Good luck to him. Where do you put him, Guy?
Well, I think any player who, as Sav kind of mentioned there, any time that kids grow up and they run around the backyard and they sidestep and they go and they scream Benji or a certain name while they're doing it, that for me instantly shows you the legacy that the guy has. A phenomenal player, and the fact that he kept playing for so long and made the grand final in his last season, and maybe didn't have an impact on that final at all, but still had an impact throughout the season. I think he would, like Sav, I'd probably put him top three in terms of New Zealand history, absolutely.
The interesting question is
whether he'll be an immortal.
Yeah, good point.
One of those rugby league immortals.
Well, he's a New Zealander. There isn't a New Zealander on that immortal list yet, so the Aussies, you know what they're like. I read an article yesterday, Mike, saying that, you know, and it made a very good point, is that a lot of young Kiwi kids or Kiwi kids in the NRL now probably wouldn't have stuck with rugby league. They probably would have ended up in union if it wasn't for Benji Marshall at his peak.
Oh, it's interesting, isn't it? The All Whites playing Curaçao, is that of... I mean, I suppose the headline was they hadn't played a game for 700-plus days, so I suppose it's good to get out there, but this is something...
Yeah, I think the fact they've actually played again, Mike, I think that's a positive.
Yeah. I didn't even know where Curaçao was until this week.
Did
you? To be honest.
Where is it, Guy?
Maybe that's a blight on me. Somewhere in the Caribbean,
yes,
isn't it?
Very much a blight on you. And 2-1, I just don't know what it all means. Actually, speaking of reading articles, I'll match you an article, Sav. Very good piece in the British press yesterday about Qatar and all of this woke nonsense that's going on in British football at the moment with your coloured bootlaces and taking the knee and all that sort of stuff. Fine and dandy. When's someone going to speak up about Qatar and the fact that it's holding a World Cup and their human rights record and all the drama around that, or do you just keep all that under the carpet for now?
Yeah, and also, did you see the fan reaction over the weekend to the Saudis buying Newcastle? They couldn't give a monkeys where the money's coming
exactly.
from. As long as they've got good players and they're winning, they couldn't care less.
Hey, I tell you what I've watched that I became gripped by only because I had the week off and I had time was I happened to see the Dodgers play the Cardinals. And that was a one-off winner-takes-all, loser-goes-home thing, and which I thought was unfair for a sport that does best-of-five series, best-of-seven series, etc., to have suddenly a one-off. I thought was grotesquely unfair. But my God, it's like five-day cricket. You'd understand this, Guy. It's the nuance and subtlety in baseball. You've really got to spend the time. Because, yes, a home run's a highlight, and I get all of that, but the relationship between the pitcher and the batter on any given time is just the nuance and subtlety in the pitching and what they're aiming to do. I reckon it's a fascinating game.
A lot of similarities cricket in that regard. It would be mightily mentally tough on a pitcher and even a catcher actually to stand there all day, you know, trying to figure out all the tactics and stuff. It is a great sport. I've never fully got into it, but I think that's because I don't really have a team to follow or anything. And I don't have the time.
You need the time.
But yeah, great.
I don't know how they pay for it all, Andrew, because, I mean, they seem to have about 37 pitchers and they've got any number of people on the team they want. They change them in, change them out. They're all earning $857 million a year.
Yeah, some pitchers come on for what? Some pitchers come on to pitch to just one batter and then they leave.
Yeah.
It is a great game of chess, and especially in the playoffs, they're intriguing matches, games to watch, Mike, because there's so much riding on them.
Yeah.
But the nuances, the left-handed pitcher versus left-handed batter, the strike zone, whether it's a ball or a strike, it takes a good 3 hours at least for a game. I know there's hints in the States that they're trying to change the rules to quicken up the game, but there's howls of protest, and so there should. It has a huge history, obviously.
100%.
You don't fiddle with football.
Couldn't agree more.
You don't fiddle with a sport like baseball as well.
And if you look at the crowds, they're all there. I mean, it's not like there's not 50,000 people a night turning up to watch. It's not like they're all bored.
There'll be genuine baseball fans listening to Sam's little piece there thinking, crikey, how many games has he watched?
It's well worth watching.
Strike zone, and then you try and throw it over the strike zone, and then a bit of this, a bit of that.
No, look, listen, I appreciate sporting drama, Guy, and I appreciate the mechanics of sport. And let's not forget, there's 162 games a season, for goodness sake, but it's still, people still go along, it still rates. And
it's the American game.
Yeah, it is.
It's the American game. Good to see you guys. You have a good one. We'll catch up next Monday. Always a pleasure, Andrew Seville and Guy Havelt.